you'll look, you'll see that we've got a somewhat abbreviated agenda from what was originally posted because a number of those bills have not moved out of the subcommittee to the full committee. But we do have a number of bills to discuss. In the interest of allowing Mr. Taylor to go back to work, we're going to hear House Bill 3446, which is at the bottom of the agenda, which is the only bill which he's carrying on today's agenda.
The last shall be first, Mr. Chair, right?
And the last shall be first.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3446 comes to you from Representative Devlin, requires the Department of Corrections of the Oregon State Hospital to conduct a study of feasibility of establishing a sex offender treatment pilot program with an adult male corrections facility that would, one, identify those offenders most likely to benefit from treatment, and two, provide treatment alternatives in residential treatment settings for a period of 18 to 24 months. We heard this bill the other day. Representative Walker is the carrier of the bill. And the fiscal impact statement is doesn't seem like it's significant. Doesn't tell us much and doesn't seem to cost any money.
Representative Vicki Walker.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And the other day, council was just yesterday. Though it seems like forever. We did not have any testimony in opposition. The only person to testify was, well, he called himself a doctor. Gary Field, administrator, well, you called him doctor, Mr. Chair, but it doesn't say he's a doctor on here. He's the administrator of the Counseling and Treatment Services of the Oregon Department of Corrections.
He's a doctor, this must have been.
And, well, he is today. I'm frankly, I was actually shocked to learn that the state of Oregon Department of Corrections does not have a sex offender treatment program in the facility, in any of our prison systems. They closed a program at the Oregon State Hospital 6 years ago, and they have a pre-release treatment program, had one up until 4 years ago, and mostly, all they do at this point is when a sex offender is released into the community, then they begin treatment programs. This bill started out as requiring that they do establish sex offender treatment pilot program, and now it's just a study to see how effective those programs would be. Frankly, colleagues, I was shocked because not only am I concerned about preparing these inmates for reentry into society, but I was also quite concerned about in protecting inmates in the facility who are not sex offenders and who could be preyed upon by those who are being ignored in the treatment system, which I think creates all kinds of problems that I'll be looking into in the future. But I think this is a good bill to give us some ideas. Part of the problem, as testified by Dr. Fields, is I can't think of the word. Anyway, the studies out there, they're not very clear. It's amazing to me that here we are in the year 2001 and there's not enough empirical evidence out there about what programs work and which ones don't. So that's what this study will hopefully help us learn. And I would urge your support.
Thank you, Representative Walker. Is there any questions for Representative Walker about the bill? We adopted the Dash 2 amendments in subcommittee. Anybody here to comment on this? Okay. Representative Walker, do you have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would move House Bill 3446 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Representative Walker moves House Bill 3446 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? If you'll call the roll.
Representative Ackerman?
Excused.
Representative Backlund?
Aye.
Representative Vito?
Aye.
Representative Ringo?
Aye.
Representative Shetterly?
Excused.
Representative Cheryl Walker?
Aye.
Representative Walker?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lowe?
Aye.
Chair Williams?
Votes aye. The bill receives the necessary votes. It'll move to the floor with a due pass. Representative Vicki Walker, will you carry?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we're going to go back up to the top of the agenda then, and we're going to start with a work session on Senate Bill 69. Counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 59.
Senate Bill.
Senate Bill, thank you. Senate Bill 69 deals with interpreters in juvenile dependency and delinquency proceedings for parents or others granted the right of limited participation. And Representative Lowe is the carrier. It had a minimal fiscal impact, but no statement was issued.
Representative Lowe.
This is one of the access to justice issues. When a child stands before the court in what is the functional equivalent of the trial, that's the adjudicatory stage, the parents are not technically parties to the action. And therefore, as under the language of Oregon law as it exists presently, they are not entitled to the services of an interpreter. Yet it is at the conclusion of such a hearing that critical issues important to the child are decided, like where they're going to stay in the pretrial phase or and what terms and conditions of release may be. Oftentimes, the parents do not speak English, and they must rely on the child to interpret for them what the child's terms and conditions of release are, or while the child is awaiting further proceedings in the adjudicatory phase. This doesn't work well, and so we need interpreters. In addition, it's important to have interpreters when aunts, uncles, grandparents, or guardians may be the ultimate caregivers down the road. And so if they need services, interpretive services, then they should be allowed to have them. This bill will allow that to take place. I would point out to the committee that one of the largest segments of growth, according to the census data, is non-English-speaking people in our state. Or bilingual people, too. Good bill should pass. Mr. Chair, I move that we send Senate Bill 69 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Lowe. Are there questions by the committee about the bill or for Representative Lowe? Is there anyone here following this bill today? Oh, there they are.
The usual suspects.
Are there any questions of the usual suspects about this bill? I noticed that the bill has minimal fiscal impact, so there was no fiscal statement issued on the bill, which sort of surprises me. Sometimes these interpreter bills end up costing a whole lot of money, so I guess I'm a little surprised by that.
Let's not ask for any.
But I'm not going to ask any more questions. So anybody else have anything they want to add? Okay, Representative Lowe has a motion pending in front of the committee. Okay, call the roll.
Aye.
Representative
Dinkfelder? Aye.
Representative Ringgold?
Here.
Representative Shetterly?
Aye.
Representative Carol Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Vicki Watson?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair Williams?
Aye. Representative Ringgold, did you say aye?
No, I think I did.
I'm not sure she can record a hear vote as a yes or a no, so. Okay, all right, good. You and the mouse in your pocket. Okay. All right, we will assign that bill. It's passed to the floor, and Representative Lowe, if you shall carry.
I'd be honored.
Okay.
There's a whole bunch of companion bills.
We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 75.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 75 is also being carried by Representative Lowe, and this is somewhat related. It's actually not one of the access bills, but it deals with the Citizen Review Board and the Oregon Youth Authority and establishing agreements dealing with placement, substitute placement of youth within the system.
and that arrangement had a sunset clause, and this would eliminate that.
Representative Lowe.
This bill really extends the sunset. That's what the deal is on this one. Pardon? Eliminates the sunset that has been cumbersome. Thank you. And because it's working well and we need it, the Citizens Review Board really is a good opportunity for the community to participate and assist in the fashioning of our remedial measures for children. The problem is that somebody who is employed by the OIA or a private agency that's regulated by or certified or directed by OIA, those folks really ought not to serve on the Citizen Review Boards because it's kind of a conflict, actually. So that's what Nancy Miller's able amendment does to this, and the bill does pass. Mr. Chairman, I suggest I'm tired, that Senate Bill 75 be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation. A. Engrossed.
Thank you, Representative Lowe. She's moved Senate Bill 75 as amended, A. Engrossed, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Questions for Representative Lowe? Did OYA weigh in at the committee on the amendments? Nancy, you want to come up? Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Good evening. I'm Nancy Miller. I'm the director of the Juvenile Court Programs Division of the State Court Administrator's Office. We worked with OIA to write this bill, and they did not testify at the subcommittee, and they did not testify in the Senate. They support the bill.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Nancy about this bill while we have her here? Okay, thank you. Committee, anything? All right, Representative Lowe's motion is pending. If you'll call the roll, Shannon.
Representative Backlund?
Aye.
Representative Dinkfelder?
Aye.
Representative Ringo?
Representative
Shatterly?
Aye.
Representative Shatterly?
Aye.
Representative Vicki Walker?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Krieger?
Aye.
Chair Williams?
Aye. Senate Bill 75A engrossed moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Lowe, you're on the list for all these. I don't want to listen to you on the floor talk about every one of these bills all in a row. So I'd like to divide it up, not because I don't think you can do it, but it just seems like it's all a whole bunch of stuff at once.
I bore the heck out of myself sometimes. So
it's just good to sort of break these things up so people hear a different voice as all rolling out at the same time.
Chair William, you thought perhaps maybe some of these could go to the consent calendar. We haven't got to those yet. But that's
really
okay.
I really don't like the consent calendar.
I know, but considering that we're about 40 bills behind right now,
yeah.
We might just want to consider it.
Well,
suggestion.
Okay, but not this one.
No, not this one. Not this one. No, I didn't mean this one. There's some coming up.
Do I have a volunteer on this bill?
Representative Ringo.
Representative Wilson, will you carry this one?
I'll do it.
All right.
I'll take one.
Way to be a team player. All right.
I'll take one for the team.
All right. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 76.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 76A is another one of the Judicial Department's Access to Justice Committee bills. Representative Lowe is also the carrier on this. And it deals with the Oregon Evidence Code and interpreters and some other housekeeping matters.
Representative Lowe.
I think I'm going to animate my voice for this.
Yeah,
you're
going to
be
left
bored.
All right.
This wonderful bill. Whenever you have a witness who doesn't speak English or needs an interpreter for sign language because of communication difficulties, you need to have one. And every darn time you have one, they got to be sworn in and qualified according to the court's satisfaction. This bill changes that if they've got a certification under the rules 45.288 and ETSEC, and then they don't, you don't have to swear them and qualify them each and every time they interpret. But if they don't, then you do.
Representative Shetterly.
I just want to say that was riveting.
Excellent. I thought it was very well done. Okay. Any question for Representative Wall? Representative Ringo.
I have a question. When it says submit the interpreter's qualifications on the record, when is contemplated? Some sort of background as to the language ability, or if it's evident they can speak the appropriate language that's all that's needed?
It's done in different ways according to different judges, if you want to know the absolute truth. I've had interpreters who were kind of casual passers-by.
Right, and I mean the question seriously, because I've wondered sometimes whether some judges would require some specific credential.
And as we speak, a certain educated person on this subject is approaching the witness table, and she shall identify herself for the record.
Thank you. My name is Kathy Rhodes, and I'm with the State Court Administrator's Office. I work with Kingsley Click on the interpreter certification program. To become certified, an interpreter goes through a lot, and we passed out a flyer on the program in the subcommittee meeting. If an interpreter is not certified, the point is that they do have to come up and put their qualifications on the record. This might include what their education level is, how long they, what their exposure to both languages is, their education level in both languages, have they taken any interpreting classes, have they taken any translation courses. It can evolve a lot. We're looking to increase the professionalism of the group.
Representative Ringo.
If the judge is satisfied that the interpreter appears competent, is that sufficient for the judge to go ahead and allow the interpreter to proceed?
The statute, it's in Chapter 45, Chair Williams and Representative Ringo. In Chapter 45, the statute says the judge has to appoint a certified interpreter first. This is one who's gone through all that testing, and otherwise has to appoint an interpreter who the judge determines as qualified. So it is going to vary from judge to judge. It becomes an issue of the judge having discretion over who's interpreting to preserve the record in the courtroom.
Representative Vicki Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As someone who administers the oath to witnesses frequently in my job, I just have one question. It states in here that they must submit qualifications on the record, but do they also sign something in the record that's akin to an oath that they will interpret to the best of their ability?
Yes, Chair Williams, Representative Walker. If the interpreter is not certified, they still have to make an oath on the record that they will interpret to the best of their ability. Part of the certification program, the very last step after all the testing, after court observation, is that they are sworn in by a circuit court judge and sign a written oath, which is on our office.
That's
in our office.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Kathy, we thank you for coming forward and
thank
answering
you.
These questions. Anybody else? Okay. And Representative Lowe has... Did you move this, Representative Lowe?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Any other questions about this bill?
Do I really speak in a monotone?
No.
It's just checking.
No, you're just fine. Representative Lowe.
Mr. Chairman, I move AM Grows 76. Is that what we're on?
To the bill.
Yes. To the floor with a due pass.
Representative Lowe moves Senate Bill 76, AM Grows, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on her motion? Okay, if you'll call the roll.
Representative Backlund?
Aye.
Representative Dingfelder?
Aye.
Representative Ringo?
Aye.
Representative Shetterly?
Aye.
Representative Cheryl Walker?
Aye.
Representative Vicki Walker?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger? Vice Chair Lowe?
Aye.
Chair Williams?
Aye. Senate Bill 76, Ann Gross, moves to the floor. And Representative Lowe, would you like this one, or would you like to share this with somebody else?
Let's share.
All right. Do I have another volunteer? Representative Krieger, although you shouldn't get it for the weak eye you gave to the bill, I'm happy to assign...
Better than I'm here,
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
We ought to have somebody who speaks a foreign language carry this bill and have it interpreted for them as they carry it.
That's a great idea.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Okay, who speaks a foreign language?
Representative Butler speaks.
So all your people must speak Latin.
Just pig.
I speak a little, I speak German. Anybody else?
No.
Really?
You don't want to hear this in Japanese.
I'm disappointed.
Oh. Nice idea.
Representative Krieger shall carry the bill. He speaks Southern Oregonian.
I have to run down to my other committee. I'll be back.
Okay. We are now going to open a work session on Senate Bill 77. Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 77 also comes from the Access to Justice Committee, and it deals also with the Certified Interpreter Program. Representative Lowe?
Second verse, same as the first. Mm-hmm. This allows for an interpreter in grand jury proceedings when it is necessary for the proper examination of a witness. That's about it. DAs agree.
Are there any questions for Representative Lowe about this bill? So this again does the same thing, except it's in grand jury proceedings, and it allows someone who is not a certified but a qualified interpreter, if the circuit court determines that a certified interpreter is not available. So it's essentially the same thing, except it's grand jury proceedings?
Right. The same thing as the juvenile bill. But
well, it also changes. Right now, district attorneys have to go and get a court order each time that they need an interpreter. And now, if you have a certified interpreter, you don't need, under this bill, if you have a certified interpreter, you don't have to go get a court order signed each time you have, for example, a Spanish interpreter in grand jury.
I would also point out to you on page 1 of the A and Gross bill at line 21, 22, and 23, the sentence, an interpreter designated under this subsection may be present in the grand jury room and attend the sittings of the grand jury. This is language of art imported from other grand jury statutes, but what is intended there is will attend the sittings of the grand jury when needed as an interpreter. This does not open the door to, you know, sitting around having coffee with the grand jurors.
Okay, that's helpful. Is there any other comments or questions about this bill? Is there any questions for our certified interpreter witnesses in the audience? Okay, Representative Lowe.
Mr. Chair, I move the A and Gross version of Senate Bill 77 to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lowe moves Senate Bill 77, A and Gross, to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on her motion? If not, call the roll.
Representative Backlund?
Aye.
Representative Ufeller?
Aye.
Representative Ringo?
Aye.
Representative Shetterly?
Aye.
Representative Cheryl Walker?
Aye.
Representative Vicki Walker?
Excuse.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Chair Lowe?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wilson?
Aye. No promoting over there.
Mr. Chair, this is one I thought might go on the consent calendar.
What's the committee's sense about whether or not this bill ought to go on the consent calendar? It talks about grand jury proceedings. It talks about interpreters. I don't know. What do you think?
Sure.
Yes, Representative.
Actually, I think that perhaps this bill should not go on the consent calendar for the point that Representative Lowe made at the very end, making clear the history that this language about the sittings is limited to the... so far, we've covered that in the sub and now in the full, and I would soon have that on the floor if anybody ever looks at that.
Okay. So for that very purpose, I shall assign Representative Lowe to be the carrier of this bill.
Me and my big mouth.
Well, I wasn't even at this meeting. No.
Well, these were two different meetings, and she just kept volunteering both times.
Lonnie.
We're going to open a work session now on Senate Bill 122. Counsel.
Senate Bill 122, we just heard this morning, so hopefully it's familiar to the members of the Civil Sub, and it deals with the issue of custodial property and custodians as opposed to trustees, increasing the age from 21 to 25 for transfer to custodians, and also increasing the amount from $10,000 to $30,000. That does not have to be considered by a court. And Representative Lowe is the carrier on this.
Representative Lowe.
The testimony was presented very ably by the guy that's in charge of the...
Chris Klein.
Chris Klein, yeah. And he did a wonderful job. And she pretty much said it all, so...
Seems like a good idea because kids are now taking much longer than to the age of 21 to get out of college, and we don't want to see an overgrowth of little red sports cars on the road and non-graduated kids. We better extend it to 25. Nothing personal, kids. But that's...
And this is a committee, if you'll note, this is at the request of the estate planning section of the Oregon State Bar, so this is one of their... bar bills that came through their law improvement process in the bar. Are there any questions for Representative Lowe about the bill?
I had one.
Yes, Representative Dingfelder.
How 25 was decided as an age that would be a more responsible age? Or?
Because generally by then the child is out of college. Trust fund kids or kids are better able to handle their finances, that kind of thing. You don't have to automatically extend it to 25. You can do it up to 25. It's certainly, you can set up a trust or transfer property to a minor according to the dictates of the testator or whoever's setting it up, but this allows a little bit more flexibility.
Representative Krieger has a question.
Maybe a comment more than a question, in that if we have a bill tomorrow that we're going to make 18-year-olds legislators, we're moving it down to make law, could be sitting here, and here we're moving it up the other way. I don't know if there's any consistency with that train of thought.
Well, I think the response might be, Representative Krieger, the difference is here that this is essentially a situation where you're setting up a trust, and so you're making some determination for the child or the grandchild about when you think that person's going to be of an age that you want them to have access to those resources. And while we might let some 18-year-olds be legislators, I don't think we're willing to let all of them be legislators.
I have one I'd like to extend that to 35 to.
Yeah, right, and I agree. And so I guess my question, Representative Lowe, is, was there a discussion about the rule against perpetuities in the committee?
No, but I thought about it.
Okay. Mr. Olson, want to come up and lead the committee in a discussion on the rule against perpetuities?
Oh, no.
Yeah, okay. All right, just checking. Okay, well...
Can you recite it five times fast?
We have the bill in front of us, Senate Bill 122. It did not have any amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 122 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lowe moves Senate Bill 122 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any... Okay, why don't we call the roll, Shannon?
Aye.
Representative Dingfelder?
Aye.
Representative Ringo?
Aye.
Representative Shetterly?
Aye.
Representative Cheryl Walker?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lowe?
Aye.
Chair Williams?
Aye.
Senate Bill 122 moves to the floor with a due pass. Representative Shetterly, would you carry this bill?
Please do.
Okay.
I also think you ought to carry the next one, too.
Okay. Senate Bill 123, work session.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 123 also comes from the Oregon State Bar and deals with... I'm sorry. It deals with... it revises the statutes dealing with non-testamentary trusts and instruments and disclaimers of transfers by will. And it's a consolidation of current law into a single statute. Representative Lowe to carry.
Mr. Chairman, this upgrades to a more uniform status, such disclaimers. The refusal to accept a testamentary gift is a good tax planning tool, often allowing people to skip generations and pass property intact with less tax consequences to succeeding generations. It's funny you should have asked the question about the rule against perpetuities, because actually that may apply if you try to stretch this out too far. The disclaimer acts presently are lodged in two different situses in the Oregon statutes, and this is going to tidy them up and put them together. The situses depend upon the nature of the corpus, the nature of the gift. This new proposed legislation consolidates the law and also disconnects some confusing language that were traps for the unwary practitioner in confusing state requirements with federal requirements, so it's tidier and a little more user-friendly. Mr. Chairman, I move that we pass Senate Bill 123 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lowe moves Senate Bill 123A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. That motion is pending. I guess question for Representative Shetterly. Did you attend this hearing?
I did, at least the latter part of it.
Okay. Did we have a good discussion about this?
Yeah, I think the probably the most salient point in this was that we have, apart from bringing together the disclaimer statutes, was that we have provisions in the Oregon statute that appear to be but are not in fact congruent with federal law, tax law, when it comes to getting the intended tax benefits of a disclaimer, of a qualified disclaimer. This brings us more directly in conformity with the federal tax code in terms of what is needed to establish a qualified disclaimer for tax purposes.
I would have loved to attend the Senate hearing on this bill.
Makes you wonder.
Yeah, it does. Okay. Well, we have the motion in front of us. Is there any discussion? All right, call the roll, please.
Aye.
Aye. Senate Bill 123A moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Shetterly, I think I'll give those to you in a package.
That's wonderful.
Since you're our resident trust. I mean, a man who pushed through the pet trust bill should only have that awesome responsibility.
The trust guru.
The estate planning lawyer.
Yeah. We are going to...
Are we done?
We are going to skip Senate Bill 220A right now. So we're not going to go into work session on that bill. We are going to go to Senate Bill 597 for a work session.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 597 involves when you go for a test drive in an automobile, and just clarifies that it is the driver's insurance as opposed to the dealer's insurance that is that covers you. And Representative Backlund is the carrier.
Thank you, Andrea. We had one person testify this morning, although he had a companion, a 5.5-year-old, who was also at the testimony table. This had no objections, and basically, I think he started with the premise that drivers cause wrecks, and the insurance of those drivers should be the ones who are primarily responsible when there is a wreck. And Andrea covered the essence of the bill. And with that, I think it's pretty much of a, I hate to use the word slam dunk, having watched the Trailblazer suffer. But anyway, it should be relatively simple.
Okay, thank you. Representative Backlund. Are there questions for Representative Backlund? Representative Shetterly.
Well, not a question, but I think just a comment, just something for us to keep in mind. Next time I have a really bad bill, I'm going to borrow a cute 5-year-old and call him my son. They're the committee to have at me.
You must be very careful about that. When he was asked what his daddy did, he said he plays golf. Daddy does at work.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, well, great. We've got Senate Bill 597 in front of us. Representative Backlund, do you have a motion?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move Senate Bill 597 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Backlund moves Senate Bill 597 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion on the motion? You call the roll.
Representative Backlund?
Aye.
Representative Dayfeller?
Excused.
Representative Ringo?
Aye.
Representative Shetterly?
Aye.
Representative Cheryl Wilson.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Vice Chair Lowe.
Aye. Senate Bill 597 moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Representative Backlund, will you carry it?
I'd be happy to, Mr. Chair.
What are you guys laughing at over there? Okay. We'll now go to a work session on House Bill 3787. That will be our last work session of the evening.
Make it last. Talk slow.
Council.
Thank you, Chair Williams. House Bill 3787, as you might recall, is the bill having to do with impoundment of vehicles. This bill would require a city over 400,000 to comply with certain requirements regarding the release of impounded vehicles. Significant among those is that any administrative fee charge must be sufficient to cover the actual administrative cost for impoundment.
Thank you. Representative Ackerman was assigned to carry this bill to the committee. He transmitted a note to me this afternoon saying something had come up and he needed to return to district, so he is not with us this evening. And I'm not necessarily prepared to take everyone through a long discussion of this. Just suffice it to say that this was a bill that had some initial contention in it between primarily the car rental agencies and the city of Portland as to how the system was working with respect to people who had rented vehicles and then were apprehended engaging in some activity that under normal circumstances would require that vehicle either be forfeited or impounded. They spent considerable time working on this problem and came to an agreement in the Dash 3 amendments, which you have in front of you, which substantially address the issues. Of course, because of the passage of Ballot Measure 3, the city of Portland had essentially stopped its forfeiture operations on those crimes anyway as a result of that. But this, I think, makes the things clear that need to be made clear. The one point that I think we needed to make on the record was that nothing in this bill would change the right of the city to maintain possession of a vehicle needed for crime scene evidentiary purposes. So in other words, if there had been some activity in the vehicle and it was needed as the evidence of a crime, that impoundment would be allowed to continue, and that this would not change that current relationship as it applies. So that's probably what you need to understand about the bill and the amendments, and I think the parties are here, but unless they feel the need to come forward and say anything, we'll move. I think we adopted the Dash 3, so the chair would move House Bill 3787 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Janet, if you call the roll.
Representative Backlund?
Aye.
Representative Dinkfeller? Representative Ringo?
Aye.
Shetterly?
Aye.
Representative Cheryl Walker?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Seeger?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair Williams?
Aye. House Bill 3787 is amended, moves to the floor with a Democrat's recommendation. Representative Ackerman was assigned to carry it here. We can let him carry it on the floor. Representative Wilson, is this one you might want to carry? All right, why don't I assign it to you then? Okay, with that committee, I think we are done with the business. We should have, because we kept up on this, a fairly short committee meeting on Friday morning, as I understand it. So you may have a little free time a little later Friday morning, as if all goes according to plan. We're adjourned.
Hey, I should give a start, right?